Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show. Middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score. Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes.
Tootsie Roll Pops, I think I'm in love with you.
Whatever it is, I think I see, becomes a Tootsie Roll to me.
Yeah, that's a Tootsie Roll commercial. Not Tootsie Pop.
Oh, you're right.
Layla Rahimi.
How much of this is actually going to be Pedro Griffol's show?
If we go to Camelback Ranch and we watch PFPs, is Tony in a polo or is he in pinstripes?
I've spoken to Tony a few times and we exchanged text messages and he's pumped. I think he'll be around spring training and at some point we'll sit down and chat about the ball club.
So what if it's like this? It's just like, it's Tony and it's Jerry and they're sitting like in the stands and they're in pastel color golf shirts.
I'm going to have to be fine with that.
And maybe this is the music in the background and they're just watching some PFP.
I don't want him close to the plate.
And maybe everybody's aligned in the infield too and like they're in on it too and everybody's just kind of like going through the baseball motions.
Want him on the field.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk.
This is Jason Bernstein, Dan Bernstein's 17, soon to be 18-year-old son. Dan and Jason have a Bulls podcast together on the Odyssey app, wherever you find your podcast, called Organizations Win Championships. We have a caller, Bob in Orland Park. You're on The Score.
Yeah, guys, with this Bears getting the number two pick, hear me out. They need to keep Justin Fields, but then they need to also get this C.J. Stroud kid, and you load up the quarterback to have two of them. You need two quarterbacks in the NFL.
No,
so you have Fields.
No, you
and
don't.
Stroud.
No, and first of all, his name is C.J. Stroud.
Insult him. Say something about his kids.
Don't ever say that again.
Yeah!
There we go.
Yeah!
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
There's some really good acting by whoever that caller was. He even had the hear me out in there. The moment he said hear me out, I knew that that guy knew absolutely what he was doing with the call.
Did you hear the dude this morning? Oh, yeah. That the Bears will win the Super Bowl once they have a stadium.
Yeah, I heard that guy was his point that they won't win until they have a stadium that's worthy of it. I heard him, but I was like...
Is it a causal relationship? Like, they won't try to win? But they won't... I don't get it.
Did you guys not hear that? I had a good laugh. Like, I was like, I'm back. I'm back in Chicago.
The stadium will be the new Bears owner.
I'm like, guys, it's just a building. It doesn't manage your team for you.
The stadium will become sentient, like Skynet.
Yeah, the new stadium will spend...
You only play in the stadium 8 to 9 games a year. It's just an inanimate object. Bears. It doesn't actually decide things for the team.
And because you have a Super Bowl-worthy stadium, does it mean that then the Super Bowl that you win is going to be in that stadium?
That's only happened once.
Yeah.
Well, twice now.
Tom Brady.
Tampa. Right. They could assign a Super Bowl there, but it doesn't guarantee that the Bears are in it. So I'm not sure what I didn't hear the call, so I don't know.
It'll fry your circuits. C.J. Stroud was pretty great, though.
That was pretty clever. I like that. Yeah, he had fun. It was a nice time with them yesterday in the afternoon show. And that's really the show he listens to because he can't listen to this one.
Thanks for the support, Jason.
He's in school. What is he going to do?
Listen to the podcast of the show?
He can, but the one where he's actually like in the car going to and from practices and stuff, he's too busy watching TikTok to listen to podcasts.
You can do both.
He should probably get those numbers up, Bernstein. Now that he has a podcast.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
word to the wise.
Yep. So I told him, he said, can I subscribe to the podcast? I said, yeah,
yes, we should.
We need at least one subscriber. Yes, of course.
There'll be plenty of people who subscribe and already have subscribed. And what they should do now is to get better placement in places. They need to give your podcast 5 stars and they need to write a review.
Okay.
You should be pushing that.
I don't know anything about that.
How did you two get this show?
All you have to do...
just pitched it, and they said, okay.
Is that somewhere inside of the podcast, explain to people the importance of them rating and reviewing your show.
Okay. That's called a call to action.
Give it 5 stars and write a review.
Stadium, please tell Dan to listen to more podcasts.
Bears Stadium.
I like this idea that somehow the power of the Bears Stadium is a force for all things good.
I have never seen more people freak out over the relocation of a building. Like, this is...
That is still five years away.
It happens everywhere. Everywhere else, it's already happened.
If you think freak out over the relocation of a building, do you remember when they closed the old McDonald's at Addison and Clark?
Listen, people
went, where are we going to meet before games now? people went crazy.
How about this beautiful restaurant hotel that took its place?
McDonald's is special.
I have fond memories of that McDonald's. What? Because you stepped on some guy's vomit at 4 in the morning?
Listen, I have to have that Taco Bell. That
McDonald's and that Taco Bell have been there for people. And that's why when they actually just opened again in the same place, just different and a little nicer, it was sent like a beacon to people, okay? Also, that location is there for you at least 82 games a year,
right?
Not just 9 or 8. Just saying.
And the fact that it's a McDonald's and there's another one probably like a quarter mile or less away.
Don't you talk to me about this, Mr. I need my Mariano's.
Well, what? What does one have to do with
you? You were emotionally attached to one Mariano's location.
Yes and no. Ever since Kroger bought it, it hasn't been the same.
You're not going to that one you say is run by aliens.
That's a jewel. That's different. You stay away from there. You get sucked into the vortex or you end up like in the Tesseract or something. Don't go near that
one. So what's the difference?
The difference is that...
Stadium is signing CJ Stroud.
Hey, Dave Brugler's mock draft came out. We got Will Anderson on the Bears. That's good.
Trade the pick.
Edge monster. Will Anderson. There you go.
He's a really good football player.
I know.
And I mean, like, not just he's good because he does a great job rushing the passer. He's a smart, hardworking football player who's also immensely talented. Should have got more consideration for the Heisman last year. Dan.
Hey, man, I'm not allowed. They don't want me to talk about that on the air.
Did you go through what?
I got too scared.
Dan, we need your vote. So you need to learn this process that Futech was going through and afraid of. You've got to finish that process so that you can get your vote counted and get your mouth shut.
I do have to go through it. It's terrifying me. I clicked on a couple things, and he's right. No, if Pete Futek is right, you might get like half the Heisman votes this year total because of this thing.
But the idea is, I just want to be clear on this. The idea of it is that the security of the vote is sacrosanct, so they're putting in more firewalls to make sure that you don't give away your vote and that you... that the vote is being given by an actual Heisman voter. Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, they did it before. I thought it was fine. There's a multi-factor authentication, and you get a code that's texted to your phone, and that's all. And you went in, and you punched in your code that was texted right there to your phone, and you have a little a time window to vote. And now I'll try to do it today.
And the New Bears Stadium votes for you, and then you get a Super Bowl.
But that's okay because the New Bears Stadium knows all. So we just. We have to allow our votes to be used by the all-powerful Bears Stadium.
Also, I'm watching in the studio, we got the World Cup matches on, and I have a question. It may end up being a dumb one. Is Australia the only place where the primary colors of the flag have nothing to do with the uniforms that the teams wear?
Oh.
I don't know.
Because they're, I mean, it's completely opposite. Like, their flag is red, white, and blue, correct? And then their uniforms are yellow and green. Wait, maybe the Netherlands. Isn't the Netherlands flag red, white, and blue, and they wear orange?
Yeah, but that goes back to, like, Holland, right?
Yeah.
Like, Max Verstappen. Is it Max Verstappen?
Dutch? With the van in there, I would think. Maybe not. But, I mean, like, I'm looking at Tunisia. And their flag has red and white in it. And their uniforms are red and white. France is blue, white, and red. And they have blue, white, and red in their uniform. Australia's flag is red, white, and blue. And all of their international sports are yellow and green.
I don't know.
I like
These
it.
Are weird things that I think about when I watch sports.
I guess I've never felt that strongly about it.
Denmark is red and white. And their uniform is red and white.
England's flag is red and white, and their uniforms
blue.
Are not. The Union Jack is in England.
Oh, that's right.
The English flag is like a cross, right?
Yes, and they usually wear red and white.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know if I'm the only person that thinks about dumb stuff like this.
Let's do White Sox when we come back. Rick Hahn talked yesterday, and they talked about
about dumb stuff,
the coaching staff, and everything else, and they talked about bunting, which is stupid. But we'll get to all of it next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, an Odyssey station.
Jose tattoos this ball to center field. Call is back at the wall, and it is gone. Jose Abreu, a two-run home run.
I also understand from it's the fan standpoint in me, it's a shock to the system. It's lousy. It might make all the sense in the world objectively, but it's still a shock to the system. You get that. You feel that. I'd be in the wrong line of work if I didn't feel that.
I think that's well described. They really didn't have a choice, but it sucks.
You do get what you give.
The
Now you give five first basemen and DHs to the team.
I've got a reason to live.
The new radicals?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. I don't know. Hold that one out of the wazoo. Well, that was Rick Hahn, and yesterday he talked about a lot of stuff, including the construction of this new, not new, White Sox coaching staff.
I want to just say how thrilled we are with the staff that Pedro and has put together, and from a variety of experiences from people at different organizations, different approaches. We're really excited about the level of talent that he has surrounded himself with. And I would say we're looking forward to getting to work, but I know there's already been numerous meetings face-to-face with several players already, as well as a handful of conversations with members of the front office as they prepare for spring training and what our game planning and other operations are going to look like. So there's a lot of excitement about this staff here. I think we wound up with a really good mix of people from outside the organization, as well as those that have had success here in Chicago, like Ethan and Haas, as well as the ability to promote Chris Johnson from within, who we think very highly of, and we think we'll do well in the assistant hitting coach job. But ultimately, we had to make sure Pedro had to bless all these. Pedro had the final say when it came to who was going to wind up on this staff. I think Ethan and Haas's track record speaks for themselves, and it was probably an easy, it was something we discussed early in the interview process, and it was easy to come to a quick understanding on that. And then as we went through each of the candidates, some of which Pedro brought to the table and some of which we suggested or recommended, ultimately we came to a decision about what the best composition of the staff was. And again, I couldn't be happier about the blend of old and new, outside, inside, young, old, and different approaches to how to go about preparing players to win baseball games.
Yeah.
A little more cringy than I thought it would be to hear him talk about that.
Pedro's staff. Nah, not entirely.
Correct.
Not entirely. He didn't pick the bench coach.
He didn't pick the pitching coach or the bullpen coach. He had to make up a job to get the guy that he wanted as the bench coach to be on the bench.
There was a bunch of horse trading that went on. It sounds like this reminds me of Ryan Pace's hire of John Fox.
It's got some of that, and what I really don't like about it is when Rick talks about that being a part of the interview process. And like, did they settle on Pedro Grifol because he was willing to take their recommendations for some of the coaching jobs?
That had to be part of the conversation.
I don't think that's good.
So Pedro Grifol directly was asked by James Fegan about why Daryl Boston is on his staff.
It was pretty quick when you were hired that it was announced that you were keeping on Ethan and Kurt. But what was kind of the process for deciding that you wanted to retain Daryl Boston as well as part of this?
Well, Daryl's got great relationships with players. And I've had three or four conversations with him. And, our vision's aligned. We got to let these guys play. We got to have some fun. And he's detailed. So he was doing outfield and base running. He's going to continue to do the outfield. The base running is going to be led by Charlie Montoyo. He's going to lead the base running, but the base running on our staff is going to be a collective effort, just because there's just too many moving parts. And especially if you're coaching first base, you're not watching base runners, right? You got to follow the baseball. So it's going to be a collective effort along with a lot of video and a lot of details when it comes to doing things right on the basis, which is something I really, really believe in. So Debo is going to head up the outfield work, and the base running is going to be head up by Charlie with all of our help.
I mean, obviously, you can't argue with the success that the White Sox had as a group of outfield. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
That also didn't really answer the question, because Fegan's question was about the process. It wasn't about who's supposed to do what. It was about how did you come to that decision to retain him?
Daryl's supposed to be watching a baseball.
But he's got relationships with players.
Standing next to people on first who've been picked off at first.
Who need to be reminded when to tag up.
Well, he's not
going to
be in charge of the base running aspect except for on the actual field.
I do think Charlie
during games.
I do think Charlie Montoyo is a huge asset to this team.
I agree.
When people ask, what does an assistant coach matter? I will present to you Charlie Montoyo as an example. But I want to go back to the piece of this where there's just this overwhelming understood reliance on Ethan Katz.
Yes.
His star pupil, the reason he is a pitching coach on this team.
Regressed.
A lot. And we're not even sure if that guy's going to be on the opening day roster.
I'll be ramped up to 5 innings and 85 pitches.
Now, granted, there was a lot that went on to get to that because of the contract discussion.
Don't look at me like that, Mike Rankin.
I'm just defeated, Lawrence.
I'm just saying what they said.
Yeah.
It's what they said.
But I'm saying you're also really putting a lot of confidence in people who simply by years with the team haven't proven that yet.
My whole thing is, where's the accountability? If you're saying, well, okay, you're right. The base running wasn't great. So Debo's not going to be in charge of base running anymore, except for in the actual games when there are runners at first base and they're trying to pick up whether they should go to second or first to third it. That's where he'll be in charge of it.
Well,
and then if you're saying, well, we took away the base running stuff from him and we're going to give it to Charlie Montoyo, but he's really good at teaching outfield. Where is your evidence, sir?
Well, wait a second.
Where is your evidence that he is good at getting, because every one of the White Sox outfielders last year wasn't good, including the guy that has all the tools to be good.
I understand Andrew Vaughn isn't an outfielder. I'm
talking about Robert.
Even accounting for that. Well, that was vitamins. We know that was vitamins. He was Schmoven and vitamins.
That guy was batting with one hand at the end of the season.
This is my issue. And maybe this is purely anecdotal because I watch more White Sox games than I watch any other games. But it seemed like once a game, there is either a near collision on a fly ball or a tight near a flyby of some kind where someone will make the catch, but they'll look at each other. It happened all year.
The pattern is full, Ghost Rider.
That's high school crap. That's high school stuff. Communication.
You got a guy hurt because one of your outfielders didn't know what he was doing last year.
And then one of your outfielders just hurts himself.
Right. So again, make the case that Daryl Boston deserves to be the outfield coach for the White Sox.
We're not even talking
about cutoff men.
We're not even talking about the obvious issue here when it comes to base running. I appreciate the texter who had the comment, how can you be aggressive base running when you're only and bunting when you're only running at 75%? I really hope that gets rectified.
All I'm saying is
I want to make this point though, on top of all of this, is that the Cleveland Guardians made their entire strategy playing the White Sox that they knew they were going to get extra bases on these
and
guys.
And outfield defense. They had two of the didn't they have two gold glovers in their outfield?
But,
two?
But they knew
they could go first to third, second to home.
Yes.
First to second singles.
And here you
are. It was their strategy to pull away from them and knock them in the dirt at the end of the season.
And here you are, a general manager saying that it is incumbent upon the coaching staff to get the most out of these players. So you're going to roll the same people out there because you now have less talent on the roster currently than you did the season prior?
Show me your work on Daryl Boston.
Just lost the cornerstone of your franchise who was batting 300 with no protection in the lineup. And you're telling me that you're going to keep the same dudes because they need to be the ones getting the most out of these players?
There is a new dude. There's a new. We have to know about Major League hitting coordinator Mike Tosar.
How do you kind of define Mike's role? I mean, a field coordinator can kind of wear a lot of hats, but how do you see his role serving as?
Well, again, this is a guy that I've known for a long time, and he's been known in the industry as a hitting coach. What people don't know is that, you know, a few years ago, he was offered an interview to be the infield coordinator for a team. He's extremely versatile, which is something I really like about our staff. We have some guys that are really versatile on this staff that can do many things, and he's one of them. So when we were talking about bringing him on board, I just didn't want to make him a hitting coach because he's got a lot of value to the bunting game. He's got a lot of value to base running. Certainly he's got a lot of value to hitting and infield. So we're going to use these guys, maybe in a different way than most teams use it. I'm not sure what other teams are doing, but we got some versatility on this staff, and we'll cross-pollinate at some point every day when it comes to our staff members.
So everybody's in charge and nobody's in charge, and the field coordinator is a hitting coach, and everybody does a little bit of everything.
No, the field coordinator was the guy that I wanted to hire as my bench coach.
Just don't give me the
bench coach
game?
Was hired for me. Therefore, I had to find a position and create a position for this guy to be on my staff.
Everybody does
that's
everything.
That's what all of this stuff. That's where them as an organization, I think that there are failures in them, is because you now have redundancies on your coaching staff because the manager wasn't able to hire whom he wanted at all of the positions that he wanted. He wasn't allowed a clean slate. He wasn't allowed, like, they can say all they want that he gave his blessing on it, but they pretty much hired the bench coach before he took the job. Like it's very White Sox-y.
So White Sox. But the bunting game, you know what that is? That's the game of making outs. The other team wants you to bunt because it's an out.
Well,
and it has no chance of being a home run.
Well, Leori's got to do something,
my
man.
My God, is that...
Because you gave him 3 years and $20 million.
The bunting game? Hell year is this?
Maybe they're just talking about the stuff that's adorning the stadium at the beginning.
Hanging the bunting.
Maybe that's what he does.
The maybe red, that's white, and what blue they blue decorations that
yeah,
are there on the.
He'll coordinate with Roger and they'll do that.
If bunting was at all discussed in a positive way in the interview process, which it seems like it had to have been, or else we wouldn't be sitting here discussing it now based on a press conference later, that's a huge issue as far as the analytical point of this is concerned. How many times have we said that we're also worried? Because same with defensive alignments, they're not using the outs as proper currency. We knew why last 2 years. I mean, that's obvious.
I just think that I cracked the code.
What is your approach moving forward?
The code's been cracked. He's going to be in charge of the bunting that is on the field. Therefore, he'll be coordinating on multple levels the field.
Go White Sox.
There we go.
Done deal, steak dinner. Boom.
Adam Hoge is coming up. Longtime White Sox guy. We'll talk Bears with us because that's how we do things on the score.
Steak dinner. Boom.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Adam Hoge says,
Adam Hoge, Bears beat writer for CHGO Sports.
What's up, everyone? My name's Adam Hoge. This is the CHGO Bears podcast.
We just need to kick Adam Hodge off the show and let him come back on Tuesday.
Host of the Hoge and Johns podcast.
Mark Trestman's face just popped up on my computer, by the way.
Adam Hoge.
Adam Hoge or Hog? Excuse me, I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
With Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi on 670 The Score.
Talk some Bears, maybe a little White Sox with Adam Hoge. He is on Twitter at Adam Hoge. Bears beat reporter for CHGO Sports is with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Check him out on Twitch at twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. What's up, Adam? How are you, man?
Hi, everyone. Can we not talk White Sox? I don't know if I've ever requested that, but I don't think I'm up for it.
What are your feelings about Daryl Boston returning, Hoge? I'm just kidding. We don't have to talk about the White Sox. I'll just do it.
You know what? As I get, just look, here's the thing. As I get older, I think I'm starting to realize that I need to, and I don't do it, but I should start eliminating things I love in my life that don't love me back. And I feel like the White Sox and Wisconsin Badgers basketball are just two things that right now are not loving me back very much.
How do you feel about the new Wisconsin football coach, though?
Oh, that I love. That's they did what I wanted them to do when Bo Ryan stepped down on the basketball side, which was go out and spend money on a coach that can really take the program from always good to actually great. And so it really encouraged me that they actually, because Jimmy Leonard would have been the Greg Gard move. And, you know, a guy that everybody at the program loves. And instead they went out and they spent money on a coach that I really feel like could take the program to a higher level. So I love that move.
We need to make a little adjustment with the audio here, which we are going to do as we turn our attention to the Chicago Bears. And
his mic's just brushing.
That's what I think it is, too. Yeah, I think Mike Rankin is handling that. So the Bears have lost, what, in a row, five?
Yes.
There we are now. What matters now?
Well, there's a few things I think matter. There's not many, though. One is obviously the quarterback and his health and what you can still get out of this season with his health and make sure that if he is playing with an injury, that it doesn't negatively affect things like mechanics or decision-making. I think that there's plenty more for Justin Fields to potentially get out of this season in these final five games if he can play. And I think he at least will, you know, after the bye week, if not this week. But I remember specifically after Mitch Trubisky hurt his shoulder, and it was his non-throwing shoulder, but I don't know if you guys remember this, he almost completely stopped running the ball. Like on scrambles, you could tell that I think it was impacting things like his footwork because you get a little bit more jittery. You don't want to take shots to that shoulder. You're playing in pain. Now, just because it happened in that instance doesn't mean it'll happen in this instance. And if anything, I'm encouraged that Justin, to me, has started to make strides in the passing game. And was doing so in that Falcons game before he got hurt, which was one of the reasons why I was so frustrated that they ran the ball in the situation they did when he got hurt. So on the flip side of all this is I wonder if the shoulder might actually help him continue to develop in the passing game because they're going to have to at least cut down a little bit on these design runs. And I think that they did overdo it. I think they overcorrected to the point where they were exposing him a little bit too much. And this is all about finding that healthy balance. But for them to feel comfortable with that healthy balance, they need to know that he is making those strides in the passing game. So I do think that that's a huge thing that still matters a ton here in these final five games.
Well, I want to ask you this, though, Adam, is I think it's worth pointing out that Fields, before anything happened in his upper body, was already talking in practice the week before about how he had to adjust his practice schedule because his legs were tired from running for over 300 yards in 2 weeks' time, and that his legs were getting worked on during the previous game. So I'm wondering if they rest him more, not just because of the upper body issue, because of what's going on in his lower body. He can't be carrying that load.
Well, and that was one of the reasons why I was totally fine with him sitting last week. I mean, I thought he could use that rest just on the lower half of his body, let alone the shoulder. So I think a week off probably did him good. Again, that was another reason why I was... Because you guys know I was talking on this show with you guys before about how he was actually getting hit less once they started these design running game. Mm-hmm. And that was true. I mean, it was both. You could look up the numbers on the number of hits he was taking, but you could also just watch the game and see it. And then I thought in that Lions game, they got a little bit too much in love with the zone read. They were calling a little bit too much. And all of a sudden he was getting hit more. And then he ran a career high 18 times against the Falcons a week later after he was, in my opinion, almost crying for help in that press conference by saying, hey, my legs are tired. Somebody pay attention to this. So that part of it was really frustrating. I hope it's a learning experience for Luke Getsy. But now my question is, if he comes back, you know, how much can they? I think they're almost going to be forced to get away from the running. I hope it's not completely, because that does need to be part of his game. But I hope that it also helps him develop as a passer in these last five games instead of hurts him because of what could potentially be lingering in the back of his head with the pain that could be in that shoulder. And I think that that's a fine line to walk. But it's going to be fun to evaluate here in these last five games, because I don't want to see any more games like Sunday against the Jets. That's just there was nothing fun about.
Well, he's not going to play Sunday, right?
I don't know. I mean, I think we'll know a lot more here. Well, we'll get a better idea, at least I think, in the next 40 minutes with their press conference, which is I think at 11:35 at House Hall. So
I don't think we're going to get any more idea, are we?
Well, we might. Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask Hogue about. Like, what did you think last week of as Matt Eberflus is out here like playing games, where Justin Fields steps to the podium and is like, yeah, so this is what's going on with my shoulder. And yeah, this is how I feel about it. And I do look at the big picture, not the small picture. What did you think about that?
Well, that's where I'm getting at. We might get a better idea, because while the head coach isn't giving us much of an idea, I did think that Justin, good for him, man. I mean, sometimes these coaches put these players in a bad position, and they unnecessarily bring up questions about a guy's toughness. I mean, I feel like that happened earlier this year with Tevin Jenkins, when he was just mysteriously missing and the team's not letting him talk. And then once he came back, he's like, yeah, this is what's going on. This is what I'm dealing with. I love football. I want to be here. I'm going to fight. And then sure enough, he's having a pretty damn good season. So sometimes I don't think that these teams, and I say teams because I don't think it's limited to just the Bears or even the NFL. I think it's something that has really gone downhill in the last 10 years across all sports. These teams put these players in bad positions sometimes with how much they try to, quote unquote, protect them from themselves. Supposedly they need protection from talking publicly. Not all do. Some do. And I saw, anyway, that's a little rant there, but good for Justin Fields, I think, for clearing the air, telling everybody exactly what he's dealing with, what type of pain he's in. I think that bodes well for him. And especially because if he comes back and is playing through it, then, you know, his teammates are already going to respect him for that. But at least that doesn't create any questions about his toughness, which should not be out there at all.
I wanted to ask you a question, because you do fervently watch the All-22s. And it's something that was brought up before we saw Fields take the game into his own hands and run for an awesome amount of yards, is that the scheming to get receivers more targets, not just Darnell Mooney, that's over now for the season. But also, I like what I've seen out of Byron Pringle when he's caught passes. I like what I saw out of N'Keal Harry when he's caught passes. But we know there's a lack of targeting there. We saw Chase Claypool get more targets. That was by design. But what do you think about how many times receivers are being targeted intentionally overall with the plays that the Bears have?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a frustrating evaluation on a weekly basis, because, you know, I think what you're pointing out is there's not a lot of passes to evaluate. There's not a lot of opportunities. And they sort of, the way they Ryan Poles built this roster was, you know, at least in the wide receiver room, is they basically had a number two wide receiver playing the number one spot, and then they had probably nobody that would be more than a number four on a good team try to fill out all the other positions, and they all have one consistent trait that they're pretty good at, and that's blocking, which is to help, you know, which helps the running game and has helped the running game. But has severely limited the opportunities to actually be like, okay, well, wait a minute. Can these guys actually run routes? Can they get open? And can they make plays on the ball when the opportunities are there? The easiest way I can answer that question, I think, and where I'm not too bullish on any of these options that we've talked about throughout the season, except maybe Claypool, which I'll get to in a second, is I just don't see consistent separation from anybody besides Darnell Mooney. And that's probably the thing that matters most. You have to be able to create separation. I think there's been times where Getsy's done a decent job of scheming guys open, but when they're just one-on-one, can they get open on their own? There really has not been enough of that. And as much as I like to see Byron Pringle finally making plays, and that was a heck of a touchdown catch the other day, he also wasn't really open, right? Like, it was a forced pass by the quarterback. Good for him for making the play and taking away an interception. But that's my concern going forward. Now, Claypool, he's the one that has to get beyond that and be a guy that could create separation. And I think last week was a step in the right direction, but I was really frustrated watching the tape the first few games, because I think the first play in the Falcons game was designed to be a shot to him, and he just did not get open. There were other plays where it's almost like he's not running the routes at full speed. Is that because he's questioning what he's doing because he doesn't know the playbook yet? I don't know, but it was kind of frustrating to watch, and I hope that. And to go back to that earlier question, what are we watching in his last five games? That's right there at the top of the list, too. They got to figure that out with Claypool. They have to get a better evaluation on him, because he is in a list of guys like Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, even Cairo Santos, Jalen Johnson, guys that are entering the final year of their contracts who could be extension candidates. And I don't think that he's earned an extension here, but you gave up a high second-round pick, so he better be here for more than just 1.5 seasons.
Hoger, we appreciate it, man. Hopefully you'll get a chance to watch better football this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
probably not.
Probably not.
I don't know. That's Adam Hoge from CHGO. He joins us every week to talk about the Bears. Mike Florio joins us every week to talk about the NFL, and there is no lack of stories there. There's all sorts of stuff for us to discuss, so we will do that with Mike Florio next. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.